be seated.
Our scripture lesson today is, I bet, one you've heard before, from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So he entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open our hearts and minds. The story today we've heard long, long ago, maybe, or perhaps for the first time today. May we see what face-to-face time with Jesus did for Zacchaeus, and how a simple invitation can make a huge difference. I pray, Lord, that you be with this preacher and be with these people. And may we hear you speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it just me, or maybe you agree with me too? Children get all the great Bible stories. They get all the great Bible stories. Us adults, we get lessons on discipleship like, love your enemies. I wrote this sermon again yesterday. I rewrote it, and I wondered when I rewrote it if I should include this, but they get the story of Noah and the ark, where God promises never to flood the earth again, evidently just Missouri and Arkansas. Jesus tells us older folks that there is a narrow gate, and the way that to life is difficult, and that few find the path. They get the story of David and Goliath, and David says, who is this guy that he would defy the army of the living Lord? And he shoots him down with a slingshot and a stone, and he falls. Us adults, we get a lesson about how to worry. Or why not to worry. Our children get the story about Jonah. Jonah, who hears what God wants him to do and says, oh no, I'm heading the opposite way. And he ends up on a ship, and they throw him overboard, and he has whale guts all over him. But he ends up in Nineveh with that message for God, right? That's what they get. They get the story of those three in the fiery furnace, who are unscathed by the fire. They get the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and they're unhurt. And we get the lesson about you shouldn't have two masters. You must serve God first. We both get the Christmas story, though, I think. I mean, we all get these stories, right? But we get the story of shepherds and angels and heavenly choruses and stables and wise men. We get all those stories. But it just seems to me that the kids get the better stories. Like the one that I read for you just a few moments ago, the one that only Luke tells in his gospel about the day that Jesus came to Jericho, made his way through the crowd, looked up in a tree, and saw a chief tax collector there among the branches. Not only do our kids get that story, they get the song that goes along with it. Now, you know the song, right? We're going to sing it, but I'm going to pause it in the middle. You know it, don't you? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree. I'm going to stop us here because all the kids get motions to this song too. They get to shake their finger up at the tree. You remember? And God says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to stay at your house today. For I'll stay at your house today. Do y'all know that song, choir? Everybody knows that song. And everybody knows this story. Let's take a closer look this morning. But before we do, I want to remind you that we're in a sermon series where we're looking at different words each week in a Lenten study based on a book by John Endermark called Gospel Lives. We've looked at stories that surrounded the idea of being called, being challenged, being rejected, and being transformed. Today, we think about stories that go around being empowered. And you see what happens when Zacchaeus comes down out of that tree. He is empowered to do something great. John Endermark, who wrote this Lenten study, has a great line that I wish I had written. He said, Zacchaeus may have been a wee little man, but he was also a rich little weasel. I love that. He may have been a wee little man, but he also a rich little weasel. Tax collectors in his day, and I might even say in our day, aren't folks that we just want to hang out with. In that day, they took advantage of the position for sure. I have a pastor friend of mine who used to like to say, my wife and I can kill a party quicker than any two people. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, we go to a get-together, they don't know who we are, and so they start the small chat, and they come up to us, and they ask the vocation question. You know the question. What do you do for a living? And my friend would say, well, I'm a pastor, and my wife, Loretta, works for the IRS. He says, after that, they kind of walk away. They don't say much more. Tax collectors in Jesus' day had to collect a certain amount of money and turn it over to the Roman government. But they could charge whatever they wanted to charge, and they would pocket that difference. Luke tells a story about two particular tax collectors. One is called Levi, who we know as Matthew, and later Zacchaeus. Levi is one of the disciples that Jesus calls from his tax booth. You might remember in Luke chapter 5. He calls him, and then Jesus is invited to Levi's house for a party, and tax collectors just know tax collectors, so there was a huge party of tax collectors, and there's some grumbling going around. Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? The Bible lumps those two together, tax collectors and sinners together, and Zacchaeus is included in that group. Our lesson takes it a step further when it tells us that he was a chief tax collector. I get the idea that he collected taxes on top of the taxes that the tax collectors that, and the Bible also says he was rich. He was a chief tax collector and rich. I wonder if Zacchaeus had heard about that banquet at Levi's house. Maybe even he was invited to it. I don't know. Maybe he had heard that there was a place at the table for tax collectors that day with Levi, or Matthew as we like to call him now. I wonder if Zacchaeus had heard that story just four chapters back in Luke's gospel, that story where Jesus tells a back-to-back-to-back story about lost things. You remember it? Luke 15? He talks about lost sheep. One wanders away and he comes back and there's a party. About a coin that is lost in the house, it's found and there's a party. And about two lost boys, we say it's a prodigal son, but the older brother's just as lost as his brother, right? And there's a party. And it's all tipped off with this word in Luke 15. This guy eats with tax collectors and sinners. Had Zacchaeus heard Jesus tell those stories? Had he resonated when he said that he eats with tax collectors and sinners and lost people? Because he probably felt lost himself. So he risked an angry crowd. He ran ahead of everybody else. He climbed up into a sycamore tree in hopes that that teacher from Nazareth would come that way. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever climbed a tree? Surely you have. When I was growing up in Jackson, Tennessee, we had a great neighborhood. We played together. We were all about the same age, about 15 kids. And back in the woods behind our houses, we built a tree house back there. And whenever you were mad at mom or mad at sister or just needed to get away, that's where you went, to the tree house, to climb up there. It was a safe place. I wonder if Zacchaeus felt safe up in that tree, probably more so than down among the people that hated him. Zacchaeus didn't bargain for what happened, though. When Jesus came that way, he stopped, he looked up in the tree, and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry, come down. I'm going to stay at your house today." My wife Susie says, "Don't invite yourself over to people's houses." But Jesus did that day, right? Maybe there was something about Jesus and tax collectors and sinners and meals and eating together. But that's when the grumbling began. It's the same old complaint among the people. This guy welcomes tax collectors and sinners and eats with them. Now, I'd remind you that our word for today is the word empowered. Empowered. Look at what Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus does. It empowers him. When he hears the grumblings, he says, "Lord, I will give half of all that I own to the poor." Hey, I'm only asking you for 10%. This guy gives half of all that he has. And friends, I want you to know, it would have been a substantial amount of money. And then he said, "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay it back four times as much." That was more than the law required. That would have been a lot of money. What I want you to see is that Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus empowered him to be generous and empowered that community. I think all of Jericho was affected by it. And Jesus puts an exclamation point on the story when he says, "The Son of Man," that is Jesus, "came to seek out and to save the lost." Amen? You ever felt lost? Yeah, me too. Me too. And I think hiding out in a treehouse is a safe place, you know, away from everybody, away from the troubles. But we're lost. We're lost. And might our lives be changed by a simple invitation? Hey, come down out of that treehouse. Come down here. I want you to meet Jesus. Do you know anybody hiding out in a treehouse? Maybe it's that single mom who lives close to you. You see her come in every afternoon. You see her load up her kids every morning. Three kids, single mom, doing all she can do. She takes them to school. She works all day. She picks them up after school care and comes home, and she unloads them, and they're wild, and they've been cooped up in the classroom all day, and she's tired, and there's still a meal to prepare, and there's still a bath to draw, and there's homework to go over. It's that way from before the sun comes up till it goes down at night, and she just needs a little help. Would you invite her down from that tree? Would you invite her into your house? Would you invite... Hey, bring her on Wednesday. Bring them on Wednesday. We'll take care of them, right? We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. Do you know anybody like that woman who's up in a tree doing all she can do to raise her family, and we can help her? I've been in churches long enough to know there's always somebody in the sanctuary, maybe not today, but always, who is kind of lonely. Life has been hard for one reason or another, looking for something more than a sermon, much more than a sermon, more than music, more than communion, They're looking for a connection. You know somebody like that? Maybe not here, but somewhere you meet. Take them to lunch. If that doesn't work for you, coffee tomorrow. That'd be good, wouldn't it? You see, when Jesus invited Zacchaeus down, it changed Zacchaeus' life. I want us to be the people who invite people down and not grumble because all these sinners are around here. I believe that Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And so we are to be inviters, not grumblers. That's my challenge to you. If you know somebody in a tree, invite them down. Tell them about Jesus. Jesus will change their life. Let's pray together. God, thanks for all this.